time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Cuckaroo.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom DeCastro, Nick Cuckaroo, June 22nd. What's going on, Nick?
Oh, not much. It's the calm before the fiesta storm for me right now.
St. Peter's Fiesta in Gloucester. Hey, Merrimack Valley people, work your way down there. Some fun stuff happening in the city of Gloucester. Fun sporting events and stuff. But yeah, high school season wrapped up officially. The big news out of the Merrimack Valley was two state finalists in softball, Central Catholic, probably arguably the big story, making their first, right?
Yeah. First ever, yep.
Finals appearance and falling ever so short of their ultimate goal in a 6-1 loss to Taunton.
Taunton just a dime. Is that back-to-back for Taunton?
I think so, yeah.
They're just a juggernaut. I know they beat Peabody last year in the finals.
Yep, 19-1 coming in, as was Central, the number one seed, Taunton number three seed. So that was a battle of the Titans, and you know, just one of those days. Central had been, you know, had a huge win over Peabody, 4-2. You know, and before that, they beat Methuen in a Merrimack Valley matchup, 10-0, 14-2 over Arlington, 16-3 over Beverly. So they were cruising and had some stiff competition there in the final four. And fell just short, but a historic, tremendous season, best team ever. You know, you got to give it to them, Central Catholic softball.
Absolutely. It sounds like they're going nowhere. They got a lot of that team back.
Yeah. Burlington was the other spoiler, the Merrimack Valley spoiler, beating Tewksbury. Oh my goodness. 10-9 in the state finals, a wild game.
Yeah. Tewksbury down 9-4 heading into the bottom of the seventh. They rallied to tie it. Then Burlington got one in the eighth and held them in the ninth in the bottom of the eighth to win it.
Yeah. That's back-to-back state finals losses for the Redmen getting into that final. I mean, nothing to be ashamed of. Of course, they want to get the big one. One run away from winning it all. And they beat Somerset Berkeley 3-2 in the final four. So they had, I mean, that's, 14 plus innings of amazing, nail biting softball, you know, lead changes and all that emotion. And Tewksbury really held strong right until that final moment. 10-9 was the difference. It was the final. So, hey, we had two finalists in the Merrimack Valley. You got to give it to the ladies, overshadowing the boys, right? We didn't really have any boys' success or frankly, any other success close to that in any of the other sports or genders.
Yep.
Pretty much.
We have one baseball team. Methuen Baseball was carrying the torch from the boys' side, and that was about it.
Yeah, semifinals appearance. The Cinderella Methuen boy baseball team was, man, they had a run. What were they ranked? All the way at 21 at 11-9 coming into the tournament. Oh, man. Wow. And they just went on a run. 3-1 over Andover, 2-1 over Xaverian, 4-2 over Central. And then getting into that final four to face Franklin, who ironically lost to Taunton. So baseball and softball state champs for Taunton.
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Yeah, they can they're getting it done these seasons. Yeah. Damn.
Methuen lost to Franklin 4-0, which I funny enough, I think it's a rematch of the football postseason last fall. Where Methuen beat number one seed Franklin. So they were hoping to do that again and couldn't pull it off. Franklin was number one in baseball at 19-3. Taunton was number two at 16-4. So great Methuen baseball season, historic, and also two great softball seasons in the Valley. So, Nick, you do know that the Merrimack River also runs through the Granite State.
Yes.
As well as Massachusetts. So we're going upstream, up north right now. just over the border to talk about what's going on in the Nashua area and greater New Hampshire with our repeat guest friend and guy that will not leave any holes whatsoever in the season recap. Tom King.
Oh, yeah, we got it covered. He's got it covered.
And Tom King, Nashua Telegraph sports reporter on After the Break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Don McCashford, Nick Kukuru. We are on the line with our friend from the Nashua Telegraph, sports reporter Tom King. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing? We all kind of recovering from high school palooza?
Exactly.
That's it. It's three seasons done in the books. The Granite State finished up earlier this month in June. Massachusetts finished up this past weekend. And now we look forward to Little League, semi-pro baseball, classic summer stuff. And in New Hampshire, Tom's got it covered. Usually, Tom, the only question we ask you is we already asked you the question of the day. And that's, what's up, Tom?
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's all we need for you.
You got a week? No, I mean, for the summertime, it's the Silver Knights that play in Nashua. They draw about 1,500 a game. More so later in the week than nights like this, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, even though school's just getting out. I think the last day is tomorrow in Nashua. So we've got that. We've got Legion, although the senior Legion teams are down to two in the area. So it's not, you know, Nashville's usually pretty good. They draw from a lot of towns, and they have a lot of depth. This weekend, this Friday, the Chad All-Star football game will be held at St. Anselm College. And for those who don't know what Chad is, it's Children's Hospital at Dartmouth. So it's kind of the equivalent of what Massachusetts Shriners game. We have a Shriners game, but it's played up in Vermont, they're basically taking the air out of it. Chad has really replaced it to get the top players. And that game is Friday night. And we've got, I think I counted 21 local kids on the roster for Team West playing Team East. So, and the head coach is local. So we've got that coming up on Friday at 6 at St. A's. Then after that, it kind of slows down to where I'm doing Silver Knights for a couple of weeks and the occasional Legion and then Stadium Golf. And then, guys, I disappear for a couple of weeks. So
nice.
Do you disappear in the friendly confines of Rhode Island or Foxborough, or do you disappear and actually rest?
I disappear at America's favorite staycation destination, the Tom Pound.
Tom sleeps in, he turns on Netflix.
I hang out by the pool.
Yep. Nice.
Flip a few burgers. Excellent.
That sounds better than going on vacation.
Yeah, well, I mean, these days it's kind of hard, you know. Maybe I think I've got to get away for a night or two somewhere, but that's about it. Usually I'll take day trips. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fine. And also try to swing the sticks a little bit. You know, I haven't been out to play golf yet this year, and this is my chance to do it. So it was quite a spring here, guys. I'll tell you what. There's one school you want to keep in mind in the area, and it's a it's not Titletown, it's Titletowns. Hollis Brookline. They're a Division II school in Hollis, and they have won. They've won three titles. Three titles this spring. And overall, in the last combined two school years, 9 championships. So they have pulled it in, and they pulled off a back-to-backer last year. A year ago, we talked about it. A year ago, they won volleyball and baseball on the same day, hours apart. And this year, they did the exact same thing.
Wow.
Back-to-back in both sports. So, and then the girls' lacrosse finally broke through with a championship. So they've got back-to-back wrestling titles. Of the 9 championships, 4 are back-to-back. Jeez. And they have produced some really good teams. Now, they're okay in hockey. They co-op with Dom Near You in Manchester, Derryfield School. They co-op with them with hockey. Basketball, boys basketball has struggled. Football has struggled, although they won a championship about 4 years ago. Then football has struggled. But boy, you take some of those other sports and they're right up there. They're almost guaranteed semifinalists every year in a lot of sports.
Yeah. And only what, the quick drive on 130 West from Nashua? Is that true?
Oh, I'm 10 minutes away from the school.
Yeah. So you've been covering them regularly for years, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, I kind of, when we, you know, when we were full staff years ago, I focused on the national schools, but now as the only guy, I'll go wherever the teams are competitive, and they're one of them. So, yeah. And they're really, you know, they've got some talent. I know that they're hurting in a couple of sports. They're hurting in football because of the feeder system. Feeder system has all but disappeared in Hollis. So they're really hurting there in football. But the other sports, boy, wow. You know, really making a move. Baseball has become the dominant sport there in the spring. It's been really good over the last. They have a long time JV coach. His name is Jay Sartell. He's also a police chief in one of the towns around in Northern Mass. And he was a police officer, I think, in Hollis, and then he moved to, not moved, but switched departments. As a JV coach and also as a town cop, he knew all the kids, right? He knew what they ate for breakfast. Right. So he finally got the head varsity job. And he's not a young guy. He's probably, you know, middle-aged, you know, he's probably 50, late, you know, 50s. In his... Not counting 2020 because there was no season. His first year was 2019. He took him to the finals. 2020, no season. 21, they lost in one of the earlier rounds. And then 22 and 23, 2 titles. He's been to 3 finals in 4 of his seasons.
Wow.
With 2 titles. So they've built themselves up a pretty good program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tom, how about some other state finals you've been to? Any other interest in developments in the spring?
I think at Bishop Gurdon in boys lacrosse, they won a championship. And that's, you know, they have been to remarkably in Division I in lacrosse. And you have to understand, in lacrosse in New Hampshire, it hasn't been a state sport until in the mid-90s. And it's still, it's beyond the education stage for kids who didn't know the sport. But there are still a lot of schools that try to compete and don't do a good job with it. Nashua being one of them. But from year to year. But Girton has been remarkably in 18 straight state championship games. 18. that's unbelievable. And they won 12, and they have won. They've really, their heyday right now is now. They had a great rivalry with Pinkerton Academy. And I go way back with Pinkerton because that's where I broke into the state at the Derry News covering Pinkerton. And when Pinkerton was playing lacrosse, they were playing lacrosse in the, 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and they were playing in a prep school league. Mm-hmm. So when lacrosse became a state sport, of course, they were the dominant team or one of the, they were a team that could dominate because their kids all played the sport. Girton and Pinkerton have quite a rivalry. They played in a lot of championship games. Girton lost back-to-back title games to Pinkerton in 18 and 19. Then Pinkerton's program has kind of gone down a little bit. They got back in the finals this year, but Girton went on a 13-0 run in the game, down 3-2, and took a 15-3 lead, and that was it in the third and fourth quarter. So, one of the things you discuss when a team like that wins a title is how do the kids feel? Is it a sense of relief or is it a sense of joy? Right? Because everybody expects them to win.
Yeah.
Right. But they said no. They, one kid, the great best quote was, because they come from all over to go to Girton. And the best quote was, "This is why I drive an hour to school every day." That was appropriate. The other thing is one of the other Hollis championship we didn't talk about, their girls lacrosse team, who lost in the finals 2 years in a row to Portsmouth. Portsmouth moved up to Division I. They had dominated Division II. They moved up to Division I this year. And Hollis Brookline broke through and they beat Hanover with a goal with 19.7 seconds left. Wow. And won at 12-11. Great championship. There's two daughters on the team, Sabrina and Alyssa Hill. Alyssa Hill is the older one. She's a senior, just graduated. She's going to St. A's to play lacrosse. I'm covering a lacrosse, their semifinal a year ago. And the stadium park rec guy, the stadium superintendent, the maintenance guy, calls me on my cell. I'm at the far end of the field. Calls me on my cell, and I'm going, "Bob, I'm in the facility. Why are you calling me?" He said, "Bill Hill wants to talk to you. He's here." And it hit me. Bill Hill is the grandfather of those kids, someone I've known for a long time. The reason I know Bill Hill is because the father of those kids is a former minor league baseball player who played, I covered in high school in Nashville. And I never put the names together. So he played in the Cubs system. And so I asked him after the game, I said, after this championship game he was at, and we talked for a little while, I asked him, I said, "What's a baseball player's daughters doing playing lacrosse?" How come they're not playing softball? What's going on here? and he goes, "It's just the way it fell. They got good at it, so they started playing it." So, yeah. So that's my little anecdote for the tournaments.
Nice. So, and overall, like in the spring, I think for our area, like North Shore, Merrimack Valley, for Mass, we pretty much concluded that it was a tennis lacrosse type of spring. Like that's where our area teams dominated. What was the overall, at the end of the day, which sports dominated for your area?
Lacrosse is definitely one. I mean, because we've got two championships in that sport. The disappointing thing, and I've written about it, we've got five local Division I teams in my coverage area, three out of the city of Nashua. The finals for the state tournament are held, some of them in Massachusetts were at Polar Park, right? So in New Hampshire, they play the four division title games in Northeast Delta Dental in Manchester.
Yeah.
Where the Fisher Cats play. So they make it a day of baseball there. 10, 1, 4, and 7.
Yep.
But the semifinals for Division One are right down the street from me at Holman Stadium. There has not been a Nashua team in those semifinals since 2016. And the baseball in the city is, in terms of talent there. But in terms of team success, it's not happening. Bishop Gurdon has had a plethora of good pitchers. They've lost in the first round the last 2 years. Haven't won a tourney game in a while. Not since, I think, 2020, when it was a regional setup due to COVID. It wasn't seeding. It was a regional blind draw tournament. Nashua South a year ago was loaded with talent, and they got upset in the quarterfinals in their own ballpark at Holman. I mean, a local team, if they have a decent regular season and can get a home field for the first round, can play and then win a quarterfinal. They can play their first three tournament games at Holman Stadium, their home, where they play their games.
Yeah. So that's a neutral site that's predetermined.
Well, it's a neutral site predetermined for the semis. It's home field advantage for the first two rounds for anybody.
Yeah.
So technically, they could play three games at Holman Stadium. No one in the last 7 years has been able to take advantage of that.
It's too bad.
So it really is. Softball has struggled in the area. We had one really good team. It's Hollis Brookline. They made it to the semifinal. Again, Hollis Brookline, right?
Yeah.
They made it to the semifinals, and they have a pitcher, Austin, and it's a girl. Austyn is how she spells it. Mm-hmm. Austin Kump, Kump. She's going to West Point, and I believe she's going to play there.
Sweet.
And she was a good pitcher, and she carried them all the way to the semis, but they lost in the seventh inning. So heartbreaker of a loss. I think there was in baseball. Predominant school right now is Londonderry, just outside of our coverage area. An interesting game in the championship game, which I did not cover because I went from the baseball with Hollis One to the volleyball, which was held in Nashua. I think I lost you on video there, Dom, for a second.
Are you unable to collect your thoughts without my pretty face, Tom?
That's true. Well, I was afraid I was disconnected. Nice hat, by the way. I like it. I like the catcher's look.
Yeah, you got a little,
Oh, don't put that on. Don't do that to me after the Yankees sweep.
I know, right?
This Yankee fan is not happy. In the championship game. It's all about, I think some of these games are all about how the coaches handle pitching, right?
Yeah.
And Londonderry and Pinkerton were playing a rematch of finals a year ago where Pinkerton won. And this time, Londonderry was the favorite, tied 1-1 into the eighth inning, which is an extra inning. Top of the eighth, Pinkerton scores two runs. They have a pitcher who's been mowing down Londonderry, the starter, and he was not, from what I understand, out of pitches. He had about 45 left.
It's funny.
By rule, they took him out for the bottom of the eighth and put in a sophomore, I guess, who had pitched well during the regular season. I don't know because I don't cover these teams on a regular basis. They put in the sophomore, and the sophomore got lit up, and Londonderry won the championship 4-3. A lot of second guessing going on there, guys.
I could certainly see that. I mean, you're putting, and was that kid that was in there a senior that they could have left in?
That I don't know, but I'm okay. I know it wasn't. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a sophomore. I think he was a senior.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes those young kids, you put them in press situations. It's not that bad because they're just too young to get it.
or the opposite. or the opposite. They get nervous. We had a kid. He's a senior, and Hollis Brookline had a kid in their game. They won 5-0, and he tossed a 3-hit shutout, complete game, and struck out 14. So, and I talked to the coach. He said I had no issue at all with keeping him in the entire time. He was mowing him down. There was no reason to take him out.
Yeah.
So, and he had plenty of pitches left, I guess. So yeah,
that's a tough choice. Pinkerton is Pinkerton Plastow?
No, Derry.
Oh, Derry. Yeah. What's the Plastow school?
Timberlane.
Timberlane. That's right.
Timberlane Regional.
Oh, Moynihan Lumber friends. That's right.
Yeah. Timberlane Regional, but Pinkerton is the largest school in the state.
Okay.
They draw from a few towns and I think the majority of their kids are Derry kids.
Yeah.
But they used to draw from Windham. They used to draw from Londonderry. Londonderry broke off, got their own school. Pinkerton draws from, you know, small towns like Chester. A few other towns, and there's a few other towns that can send their kids there, but they've got to pay. So it varies, but they are the largest school in the state. I tell you what, guys, one tournament game I went to. Now, I used to cover Pinkerton way back in the 80s. And I'd never done a softball game there, and it had to be 35, 40 years. Mm. Alvern and Hudson had a preliminary round game, and Alvern was the best Division I team we had in softball. Softball's really struggling in Nashua too. So I said, okay, I'll go to Pinkerton for the, it's only, you know, 25 minutes away or whatever. So I said, I'll go there for the prelim. Question is, where's the softball field? Because I'm sure it's not where it was when I 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So I got directions to it and I was following it. You know, it's up past the football field. All turf. All field turf. Completely artificial surface. Even the sliding area. Whatever that brown material is. I think, you know, I don't know what it is, but I think Gill Stadium has the same stuff, but all turf. Here's the thing. It's fenced in left field. It's fenced in center field. Left center. And then it opens up no fence for right center and right field. So all the Alvern kids did was hit, if you hit it over an outfielder's head in right center on that turf, it is going to roll like, you know,
forever.
You think you're hitting the tee shot at the US Open, right?
Yeah.
It's going to go 300 yards. And that's what Alvern did. And they beat him 11-3. I mean, it was great strategy. You know, right center, girls go right center. You know,
well, even a hard ground ball through second base men area, it could be a home run. You know,
yeah. they may be able to cut it off, but you hit it over the outfielder's head. There's no fence for it to bang up against, and for it to bounce over for a ground rule double. That ball is going to roll. The reason there's no fence there is because there's a soccer field that blends in, so they don't have a fence. So, yeah. But I mean, this field is pristine. I mean, I should have taken a picture of it from above because you park above it and you walk down. It is a great facility.
They're like, who wants to play right field this year? Folks, like no one raises their hand.
Hey, you can't put your worst player there. Yeah.
Yeah, so somebody with speed. That's what you got to put out there, right?
Yeah. So, throw a body in front of the ball because it's like, you know, you have to knock it down. I mean, that's, you know, you teach little league kids all the time, you know, your job in the outfield is to knock that ball down, get it to the cutoff man. Right. There's no more true than that field.
Right, right. I saw something at the end of that game after it was over. Pinkerton had lost, so it was their last game. The name of the Pinkerton coach is Tom Hall.
Mm.
He used to coach in Connecticut, from what I understand. And all of a sudden, we're leaving the field, or I'm done, almost done with the interviews. I'm waiting to talk to him, so I'm hanging around. And all his kids are lined up along the third baseline after the game. I'm thinking to myself, was he going to make him run sprints?
The season just ended?
Season just ended. They're going to run sprints? So, no. What he does is he calls the seniors by name. They're at home plate, and they run around the bases to applause from their teammates.
That's a nice touch, you know?
Isn't that? One after the other. I'd never seen that before. I asked him about it because I write this weekend in the Telegraph, it'll come out. I write a little tournament diary of all the anecdotes from all the stops I make along. I call it the tourney trail.
Nice.
And that's in there. And he said he'd been doing it since 2004 when his daughter was a senior at Staples High School in Connecticut.
It's too bad you don't have a massive graphic design team at the National Telegraph there, Tom, because they could put a nice map of Tom King's travels.
They could do the map of all that. It would be perfect. I know it. Perfect.
And then you get really fancy. You click on each dot with each town, and that brings up that nugget that you wrote. And this brings up this nugget that you wrote. Now you're talking multimedia journalism award.
Tom, you're hired. You're hired.
That's it.
Perfect.
But you know, Tom, that's a great little nugget there. And I'm thinking when he's telling that, Nick, and you and I have discussed this many years, if that was a boys team, like a baseball team, you know, some of the kids would be like, screw this, and they would leave. But the girls have such better attitudes, right? Positive. And they like, if I just lost and my career ended, I don't want to run around the bases. I don't think.
No doubt about it. You talk about tennis though. And attitudes. I saw a girl. She was a player for Portsmouth. She might have been their number one. And she lost. And it was a quarterfinal with Sauhegan, a school in Amherst. And she lost in her singles match. And she was almost inconsolable.
Yeah.
The coach had to go over and sit with her for a while and calm her down and everything. I mean, she was just, you know, the poor thing, just beside herself. I've seen kids cry a little bit after they lose a championship game or whatever. I'd never seen that on the tennis court before or in tennis.
Yeah.
Tennis is a sport in New Hampshire where they could be done with the tennis tournament in a week and the team tournament in a week, and they drag it out. Because they have a 70% rule, and they got teams in there that don't belong in there, and they get smoked right away. They have, if you're a lower seed in a tennis tournament, you basically have no shot at an upset, because the reason you're the lower seed is because you're you can't win 4 out of 6 singles. You know, you win 5 singles. You know, you get, it's 9 matches, 6 singles and 3 doubles in New Hampshire. You win. You know, all you have to do, first one to win 5 wins the match. So first one to win 5 individual matches wins the match. And tennis has Bedford, which is very good in tennis, boys and girls. I have to see if they won the Division I title. Obviously, we didn't have a team go that far in Division I. And we had a boys team. 2 Memorial Days in a row, guys. I had to traipse up to Bedford High School for the semifinals with a local team that's like the lambs going to slaughter. They know they're going to lose. They have no shot at it. And they lose 9-0 or 8-1. This year,
Tom, don't be afraid to text Dom Nicastro. He's right nearby.
That's Manchester. True. You're right there. I could go
do a sidebar for you. I could get quotes from the visiting team where you don't want them to get on the bus. You know, I could do anything for you there.
Yeah, that's it. Memorial Day. Well, everybody's out having their cookouts. I'm there sitting there watching 2 kids, play, sometimes it's like they're playing badminton when you get down to the lower players on the ladder. But, their aim is just to get it over the net. But I saw some good tennis. You saw, so there's some players. Girton has a number one named Nick Shea. He spells it X-I-E. It's pronounced Shea. And he's actually, talk about kids coming from all over to go there. He's actually from Acton, Mass.
Okay.
And he just decided, he's been at the school, and he says this is his junior year. And he just decided this year he'd play some team tennis. Nice. He wanted to play Team 10. He hadn't gone out for the team at all. And he's a top, obviously, in the summer circuit and all the you know, USTA stuff they do, you know, for juniors and stuff like that. He's obviously one of the top players. But he just didn't play for Girton.
Yeah.
And this year he decided to do it. He was unbeaten. I think he lost one match that he had to forfeit because he wasn't there. He had to take an exam. That was the only reason why. And otherwise, he was unbeaten. Good player, very good player. But he was the only one who won that day when they went to play Bedford. He was the only one. He had to rally to win the match too. So that's how good Bedford is. And they won the champ. They won the championship. They beat Hanover 8-1.
Well, Tom King, Nashua Telegraph. We are consumed, covered everything there is to know about the Granite State at the moment. Once again, your three times a year appearance. We will catch. Catch up with you probably Thanksgiving time again to see who did what in the Granite State in the fall, football, field hockey, all that great stuff. But I do want to ask one more question. So in terms of maps, you know, you had that tourney journey that you go on and do a column about. When you're off for 2 weeks, can we expect a personal Tom King map? Like, you know, fridge to couch, fridge to bed, fridge to... You know,
pool to table by the pool, to lounge chair by the pool, to pool back and forth, and then around, I'd say 8 o'clock to grill.
Yes. Okay? and then getting online and seeing what your people did in your absence and being like, why do they run that? That's weird.
No. I don't even look. Oh, I don't even look. Yep. No
emails, nothing. Good.
Nothing.
Off the grid.
completely off the grid. Yep. I had somebody email me 1 year because nothing had happened. He thought I left.
Yeah.
He goes, don't tell me you left. I haven't seen anything. I said, no, I was just on vacation, but it was, you know, we were short staffed. We didn't have anybody to do anything. So
out of office message. That'll save you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Tom King, you have a great summer. If anything comes up big over the summer, absolutely ping us. We'll have you on for a bonus Tom King segment.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good summer.
You too.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Bye now.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Don McCashin, the Cuckoo. I feel like I could take a quiz, Nick, on New Hampshire sports. I mean, I know
all the runaround that you needed right there.
We not only know who won state championships, what kids did well, but we also know like parents that showed up at the game and had a conversation with their sports reporter about their daughter that's playing. You know, that's what you get with Tom King. Yep. You get those intimate, you know, off the field moments. We found out about what he likes to do on vacation. Like, it's just, I think we got to go up there and have a day with Tom. It sounds like, you know, we get the pool action, barbecue. I mean, we get it all. But we're going to wrap up this show with our top moments of the week, Nick and Dom's top moment in the Valley from the past week of sports. We're going to start with me, and I'm going to stick with Tewksbury softball. We've been following them for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. two semifinals. I mean, excuse me, two finals, two losses in the state finals. They went in 2016 as well. They lost that one. So they know how to get there. They just fall short. And they really fell short this time again to Burlington with a 10-9 win. But look at what happened in the bottom of the seventh, where they were basically two strikes away from losing. They started that inning, all five, they were down 9-4. All five Tewksbury kids, the first five that came to the plate, got on. Triple, home run, double walk, single. And then there was a sack fly. So I'm quoting the nice reporting here from the Lowell Sun, by the way. The sack fly came off the bat of Alyssa Adams. And that made it where the Redmen had the tying run on third base with one out. So they had a chance to win this thing.
Yeah.
There was a strikeout, and the number 9 hitter was up. Sydney Whalen, 0-1 down in the count. So that's two strikes away from losing the state title, right? She laced one over the left fielder's head, and that scored Avery. Yeah. That scored Avery Della Piana from Tewksbury, and that tied the game up 9-9. And then leadoff hitter Samantha Ryan put a good charge into one. It was the line out to second, the end of that inning. That ball goes a couple inches the other way. They're state champs.
Yep. That's what it comes down to with the two good teams like that.
Yeah. Let me read a quote here from, let's see, senior catcher Samantha Perkins. I knew from the beginning of the game that we weren't just going to roll over and let it go. Perkins, by the way, is 3-for-5 with 2 doubles, 2 RBI, and threw out 2 runners trying to steal. What a state final game for Perkins. Every single one of these girls wanted it. The results weren't what we wanted, but something I have to be proud of. I was going to be proud no matter the outcome, but it was even better to show that every single of these girls showed up, wanted it, and wanted to fight back for a chance to win it. Well said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and all the five of those runs, by the way, Nick, in that bottom of the seventh, were off of CeCe Mbimbo, who will pitch next year for Division I Merrimack. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
Try to get Coach from Tewksbury on the horn this summer. Talk about that game and talk about what's next. Mm-hmm. Is it Brittany Souza, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun. That's my top moment. Nick, what did you find in the Valley?
Yeah, I'm going to the track because, you know, the state's fastest high school runner resides in Methuen. Darwin Jimenez, only his second year running track. Senior was unbeatable in the 100-yard dash. He won the New England. He won the All-State, and he finished first in the Rising Stars division at the New Balance Nationals in Philadelphia this weekend. So, Darwin Jimenez is unbelievable. Also won the 200 in the MVC as well. But, he's the state's fastest man.
Why would I think I was trying to recruit him on Twitter to get on the show. Maybe I'll keep trying. Good stuff. All around, that closes
absolutely
out the Merrimack Valley season. No state titleist, but some great things happened on there, and Tewksbury showing a lot of fight. Central, historic win, historic wins to get to the finals. Methuen baseball, and your Methuen runner there. Good stuff all around. All right. Absolutely. Well, let's get out of here for this week. Merrimack Valley, next week is the final show in June, and, you know, we'll get right into summer talk and wasting no time. Little League, Legion, whatever. Whatever comes our way, we're on it. Anything else, Nick?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, everyone take care for another week. See you next week.